Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Milestone Hackers Podcast. And I am here with another guest by the name of KP, who has kind enough to give me some of his valuable time to come on to the show. And I just wanted to say hi, KP, and how are things on your end there?
Hey, Paulo, and hey, everybody. I'm pretty good, you know, just enjoying some quiet time at the coffee shop here. You know, miss these holidays, but looking forward to doing this with you guys and looking forward to share my lessons and my story and hopefully some inspiration that I found along the way.
Perfect, perfect. And whereabouts are you?
I'm right now in Atlanta. I've been living here for the last 5 years, so yeah.
Oh, good, very good, very good. Okay, and so KP, why don't you, just for the listeners, maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, yourself and then maybe, you know, what you're working on or what you've worked on in the past and where you are now.
Okay. So I am a no-code maker, and I've been building projects on the web for about a year, I should say. And my favorite part to discuss with anyone who's new to me or new about no-code is it's about the fact that, you know, for about 3 or 4 years, I've been dwelling on several ideas. I had a list of, you know, notepad filled with ideas and like all these web apps and tiny mobile apps that I wanted to build and ship. But I really didn't have, one, I didn't have the courage to, you know, decide to become a maker. And second, I just didn't have the resources, you know, or any creative ways of doing this alone. And I think a lot of the listeners who are non-technical like me will probably relate to this, that you need a CTO or a technical co-founder. You know, you've been needing them, him or her, for a long time until no code came around. So last November, everything changed when I discovered no code. I became really active on Product Hunt, on Twitter, on indiehackers.com. And I just fell in love with the community. I just fell in love with the fact that no code lets you, you know, like someone like me with ideas, you know, no code lets you bring those ideas to life. And in limited ways, obviously you can't build the next Instagram or you can't build the next Netflix, but a lot of the ideas don't need to be that big to begin, and it gives you a lot of courage and confidence. So a year later, I shipped 5 products using no code, and I have more than like 2,000 email subscribers. And, you know, I've had one of my products, you know, it's dothingsthatdontscale.com, blew up on Hacker News, blew up on Product Hunt. It was the Product Hunt product of the day. So I've hit several milestones that I, you know, was like not even confident that I would hit in my wildest dreams, thanks to no code. So that's where I'm right now.
Wow. And so you said that you discovered no code a year ago. And how was that? Was that just by coincidence or did someone sort of introduce you to it?
I think a large part of it was the movement was taking place on Indie Hackers and on Product Hunt, and I became really active on Twitter too. And I just noticed all the signals were pointing to the fact that no code was inevitable, right? And I've been using Squarespace for maybe like 5 years now for my blogs, but nothing like Webflow, nothing like Bubble, nothing like, you know, on Glide, none of these things existed until like recently. So I think, you know, a lot of it just came from paying attention to what's going on, what trends are going on. And a huge shout out to, you know, early champions like Ben Tossel, Mubs, and, you know, a couple other folks, like I think Pat Walls, you know, a lot of the early no-code champions have helped just make the movement into a stronger cause, right? And Sheriff, who is one of my good friends from Chicago, who's also on the podcast earlier, he and I almost coincidentally started a journey at the same time.
Oh, good.
Yes.
And how did you meet Sheriff?
Well, he's my childhood friend. We've been friends for maybe like 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Well, that's in itself is an accomplishment. It's sometimes it's difficult to have a friendship last that long. So that's actually interesting.
That's right. That's the longest standing project I have, I guess.
Through ups and downs. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So that's interesting. And so, you know, in regards to the no code side of things, what would you say if you had to say like 3 things that would be maybe a positive, I guess, underneath the no code movement, and maybe 3 things that are a little bit of a challenge still? Like, I mean, I would assume, although it's no code, there's still, I guess, a little bit of a learning curve to get things sort of working the way you want, et cetera.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So the 3 pros, let's start with that, right?
Sure.
So one right off the bat is it lowers the barrier of entry. And I think a lot of people are confusing that with success, and it's not success. It's like, you know, it's like SoundCloud, right? Just because you could post today, you know, one of your new rap songs on SoundCloud doesn't mean you're going to be the next Quavo or, you know, like Jay-Z, right? But it lowers the barrier of entry. I think for a lot of makers, and I'm 1,000% sure that among this community that is listening to this podcast, there's so many people who have this idea of this, like, you know, little Google Maps thing or little, like, oh, a tracker for something, pizza tracker, whatever. You know, they have these ideas innately in them. They've just never been, you know, able to bring them out. And so that is what no code, you know, to me, is the biggest hit, biggest win right there. It's like letting you at least give a shot, right? So number one is that lower the barrier. Number two is it's in weird ways, I think no code has made a lot of us crappy and look for resources in creative ways. So kind of it is very creative. And I think a lot of people don't understand that because, you know, as a developer, you might be very set in your ways. You know, you have your scripts, you have your Python, you have your language preferred. And so there's so much preferred. Mm-hmm. And you kind of set in your mental grooves. No code lets you be a beginner again. That's where like a lot of my, I host a meetup in Atlanta for indie hackers. And a lot of the developers that I meet are fascinated by the things that I or some of my no-code friends build. And they're more than welcome. They're more than happy to actually join us. And they usually, like, we're very collaborative in how we do, you know, do these things together. So I think it helps you look at problems, you know, and solutioning in a, you know, a beginner's mindset, right? Number three is, I think iteration. Number three, the biggest pro is iteration, you know, and most devs will agree with this, is that the best way to become a developer or become great at anything is through building small but iterative loops around it, mm-hmm. right? So, and it's the essence of building anything great, like a product or anything, right? Like you need to have so many iterations and keep shipping and learning and shipping and failing, and then you'll have the blockbuster launch. So those are three big pros. Three challenges, I think, a lot of misinformation is a challenge, I'd say. You know, a lot of people are getting, you know, freaking confused about what is no code, you know, will it solve my problem? No, so it's, I think the myths that exist today and, you know, the people who are trying to like make it a false dichotomy argument about like, oh, code versus no, I don't think they're not even like comparable. It's not like, it's like saying, you know, music was a SoundCloud. Like it makes no sense. Like it's an avenue. No code is an avenue to get to code. So it's not like they're different. So misinformation is a challenge still. Number two, I think, is going back to the early learning curve. I think every tool within the no-code space, like Bubble or Webflow or, you know, Take Glide, they all have these tiny little, you know, learning curves. They're not huge, but they're tiny. So at least they'll take 3 to 4 hours of sitting down calmly in a room, just like plugging in headphones and listening to tutorials. So it might take a little effort, you know, because it's a little challenge, I think. The last one being, you know, being like finding a community or the set of 5 or 6 people around you, surrounding yourself with them so that they hold you accountable to your shipping goals. Because no matter code or no code path that you take, if you don't ship regularly, you lose to the people who ship regularly, period. So that's a big, big, constraint I think a lot of people miss out on.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you. That's actually really, really well said there. Both sides of the argument. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that I've sort of obviously agree with. You know, you mentioned, you know, sort of looping in the no code, as literally no code, like one versus the other, but that's not necessarily the case.
Right.
As you say, it's more just trying to help maybe someone who's not as technical with, you know, having an idea, getting the idea down and actually shipping it and seeing right. if it's viable or not and iterating based on that. And
right.
I think it's important. And so from your experiences, like how long did it take you to grasp the concepts of no code? Was it like, as you said, just a few hours here and there, or was it a little bit longer, or how did that work for you?
I think one of the mistakes I made early on is I see now a lot of people make too, is like they jump on the biggest platform out there, right? So at the time, the biggest platform was, I think, I was trying to mess around with Coda, and like ship something on Coda so quick, you know, and all that. But, you know, it just didn't work because again, there's so many options today, right? And it really depends on what you want and how you think. And, you know, you can find almost something that fits your mindset. So I'm a very visual thinker. So Coda was like too much, like, I don't know, it just didn't you know, fit right. So I let that go and I went to Airtable instead, which is funny because Airtable has so many like visual grids and like, you know, ways to like, you know, it's all cards and all that. So I just had to take a step back, realign myself and figure out like, hey, what else can I like hop on quickly and learn? And I, at the time, was tabletoside.com is one of the not well known sites, I think, but it's, that was my point of entry. So tabletoside.com uses Airtable as the back end, but the front end is all like beautiful, pretty cards. So I just lowered my scope and just shipped something really simple at the time called dothingsthatdontscale.com. But I didn't expect that it would blow up, but it did. And I got so much positive feedback and encouragement from others. And so like back to the point about, you have to be a little bit strategic about, you know, choosing your path, right? If you don't find a tool is helping you to get there, just pick another one, you know? There's so many today, so.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed too, is that the list is growing ever so rapidly.
Right.
You know, and so there's obviously a lot of tools at someone's disposal to use and sort of play with and learn and ship things with. Okay, so then, you know.
So it took me, I think a piece of your question I didn't answer was, how long did it take? I think it took me a week of trying and failing with the wrong tools, but then I shipped my next, well, actually my first ever project in 2 weeks from zero to like 100%. Like I shipped in 2 weeks, writing copy, landing page, you know, email subscriptions and back end, front, everything in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. So that's a good point of reference for someone out there who's maybe new and who's thinking about, you know, trying to ship something with the no code side of things.
Right.
So yeah, that's actually exciting for someone who's new because it gives them that ambition and it's not too long where you, I guess, become frustrated or maybe your motivation starts to dwindle a little bit because just, you know, it takes a little bit more time or effort to get to that point. So definitely, it's definitely a good entry point to at least start and try, you know, something somewhere. So, yep. And then I guess, you know, you've launched these various, products, and so like, how does like taking through that process, like how does this work? Like do you come up with an idea and then like think about it for a while, or is it just idea, pen to paper, you know, let's code this thing or no code it and then launch it right away? Or do you have like some type of like process that you follow to get there?
Right. I think, I kind of evolved my process, you know, like many people, but what's key here to understand is really like, I would spend more time on your intention. Because the process is something that can evolve over time and it gets better and better and better. But if you have a shaky intention, you're going to like completely get confused in this ecosystem because everyone's doing everything else. And you're like, oh my God, what, you know, where am I at? What am I doing? All that. So I was very firm with my intention. I decided to give myself an entire year at the beginning, along with Sharath too. Luckily, I had a co-believer, right? Like a companion in this journey. And I thought, okay, so, I mean, at the time we were, both of us were coming fresh off of reading James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, and a huge, huge, huge shout out to James Clear, amazing book. So, and at the time we just decided we're going to be makers, right? And it was a big leap for us because a lot of people were like, a lot of people were thinking about, even today, I know that they're like, oh, I want to be entrepreneur. There's no fucking wannabe, just be, that's it. Like, and be it and own the fact that you're at the bottom of the barrel. That's okay. Because eventually you'll climb up to the top. But if you're not still firming up about what you want to be, like you're going to die tomorrow and like, boom, the story is over, right? At least my feeling is at least like on the deathbed, I want to die as a maker. You know what I mean? So the big leapfrog jump was calling myself a maker when I had no evidence at the time. And I did that. And every single day I had like a routine or affirmation system in the morning where I called myself, I am a maker. And here's what I'm going to do today. So that was my process. So I collected ideas in the beginning. Obviously, I didn't have any ideas, you know, like in the early days, I was struggling to get anything. Mm-hmm. So I documented every single idea that ran by my mind and obviously evaluated if it's possible to ship or not. And most of these ideas in the beginning, you'll get they're not feasible to ship, right? Like we'll get like really big ideas like, oh, but technically they're not possible with the no-code platforms. So I reduced my scope, went around it, you know, turn many ways around it, and then finally found something that I thought all the products that I shipped were very fun in their nature, but also had a sense of value to somebody else, right? And so I started with my intention. Intention was like, I want to be a maker, you know, for an entire year. I'll just ship fun projects with like maybe a tiny ounce of value to somebody else. And the process was documenting all my ideas as I get through the day. And every time I feel like this is almost inevitable, like for example, I shipped this thing called undeck.co. I don't think a lot of people know this, but undeck.co came from my own personal frustration of not finding enough pitch deck resources, and which is so like stupid. Like today you have unsplash.com and you can find the world's best photography for free. Like a lot of kind photographers have given up the resources for free. And there's like, you know, there's all these like, you know, Pablo Stanley does a great job of like giving up, giving out illustrations. But then with pitch deck resources, there's not a lot of like, you know, aggregated sites. So I just thought I'll ship one, build one, and it seems super easy to do it. So I built undeck.co and I shipped it, I think, in 3 weeks. So that's, you know, the driving factor usually is like my own intuition of like, is it necessary for the world or is it like valuable for the world to have this? And the motivation is really just having fun with it, you know? So.
And I did come across that undecked. I came across a bunch of things actually that you shared. You know, the appeared on, and then no code itself, and then undeck, and doing things that don't scale. And so you mentioned five. So I think that's four of the things that you've shared.
Oh yeah, you want to hear the last one?
Sure.
It's silly. I really made that to impress my wife. So it's called Twisdom.
Okay.
It's wisdom with it. With, you know, begins with T, Twisdom, and it's basically almost a jab at, you know, all the kinds of things that she's always joking about how much time I'm spending reading Naval Ravikant's tweets and James Clear's tweets and, you know, all these, you know, really wise people's tweets. And so I just built a random code generator, random wisdom generator. So every time you refresh the screen, you'll get a new Naval's code or James Clear's.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Okay.
I built it like in one day, so it's a silly product. But it's funny, a lot of people actually wanted me to develop that further. They were like, you know, make it community based and all that, but I didn't have time to like mess around with it. So,
yeah, okay, and so did it work? Was it right from press at the end of the day?
It was, yeah. It was.
There you go, perfect.
You know, it led to another, so let me tell you this, right? It led to another idea, which this is how I think embodying, If there's anything that I want people to get away from this podcast is the feeling that anybody can be me. Please get that away from this podcast. Like anybody can be me. You can have the utmost fun doing what you love doing. You can bring everybody in your life into what you're doing. I bring my wife. I bring my friends. I bring Sharath from 20 years, right? I bring you, Paulo. I bring everybody into what I'm doing because it's fun. It's exactly how it's supposed to be. Like, don't be something you don't want to be. Like, I hate being an accountant. I hate being like, you know, I have a full-time job at a Fortune 100 company and there for 9 hours I have to like do something, and it's not my most passionate tasks, but I just do it for the, you know, for now I'm just doing it for the bills, but eventually I'll quit. But with no code and maker life, I just think that it's such a great avenue for us to express ourselves, right? Anyway, so Twisdom is a random code generator because it's holiday season now, led to me thinking about another, you know, sister project called Holiday Pun Express, and it's a pun around Holiday Inn Express.
Oh, there you go, perfect.
It's again another thing that my wife and I were joking about, and you know, she's like, "You're always coming up with new puns to embarrass her." And I was like, "You know what? Maybe I'll outsource this to the internet, and people will like insert their own puns into this thing, and every time you refresh, you'll get a new pun."
You get a new pun, yeah, exactly. And so is that already like live and out there, or not yet?
It's on Webflow in my dashboard. I didn't ship it yet, but
you know, okay.
There's so many ideas that are always like that in the making, you know, so the world gets to see only a little sliver of what you know, I'm messing around with.
Exactly. And so you mentioned something is actually important as well, that, you know, you're still working a regular job for now, right, to sort of pay the bills, etc. And so like, do you have you thought of when that would maybe come to an end? Like, are you thinking in the future, okay, in the next 3 years, the next 5 years, I'd like to be able to leave, depending on how things go, of course. Like, what's your, I guess, mid to long-term plan there?
I think I gave myself, so after 1 year since last year, right, I feel like I can confidently say that I've become a maker since last November, because I shipped 5 products and I have all these evidence, right? But, you know, and I you know, I had a yearly review in November again, and you know, this time my goal is to build platforms, and I haven't done that so far yet. Most of my products are one-off. They're cool, but they're fun, you know, but they're really not like sustainable, you know, like with daily active users. And it was, again, by design, by choice. Now I want to build something that's sustainable, where I'll have user accounts, people joining in daily, logging in daily, and doing something, you know, meaningful to them. So I mean, actually, at the end of this podcast, I want to announce what it is, because today it went live, the landing page. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very good. But, yes. Don't tell us yet. Wait to the end.
I'll wait to the end. But yeah, so the new deadline I gave myself is another year for that platform maker identity to come to life. And, you know, and I think if everything aligns, I'll probably quit my job at the point.
At that point. Wow. Good. Congratulations. And so.
Thank you.
So when you're shipping like this product, like this new product that you just mentioned, kind of tease it a little, like what's the process there? Do you just sort of go to Twitter and sort of announce what you're working on, because you have a little bit of followers now, I'm assuming, from the previous things that you launched? Or do you like post on product content? Like, what's your strategy to like get this product out there so it becomes like aware?
Right. I think that's something I am still not the world's best at. You know, I love, you know, people who do it really well. Like I think Ben Tossin does a great job. And, you know, there's Anne Laura from, you know, one of my friends on Twitter. She does a great job too. I think there's many people who do much, much better than me. But the only way I know to do it is just be authentic. And so if I'm excited, I want to translate that excitement into Twitter. And especially for this new project that I've been thinking about since maybe like 2 weeks, I've been just like trying to find any, you know, a gap in that market, because, you know, it's a market that I've been active in, and I'll tell you what it is at the end, but I've been looking at it from many angles. And, you know, I even like thought about it from like, who's done it before, who's done something like this before, community sites. And it's it's evidently, Indie Hackers is a huge inspiration right there. And that's community site. I don't think anyone's done a better job than Cortland Allen in Indie Hackers. So I even reached out to him, and we have an ongoing chat about, you know, how to build community projects. And he's helped me tremendously by sharing his knowledge and his wisdom on how to like do the early launches and early days. But yeah, basically drum up interest. You know, I put little bits of this information on Twitter. And like, I invite people to join in, chime in what they think. And I'm a huge conversationalist on DMs. So I talk to people almost like I'm talking to you, Paulo, on DMs. Literally, I just like literally share whatever is on my mind with people. And it's so stunning that how some person away from you, like 10,000, whatever miles away from you, wants to chime in too. I think people underestimate the power of the internet, you know, because there's so many people. Just like the other day, I had a call with, you know, this person from London. And she was apparently working or like dreaming up about this exact project for years. And she was like, I'm so glad you reached out to me. I would love to promote you and support you. So today when I launched, she was more than happy to retweet it and write her own spin on it and, you know, support it, you know, and all that. So I think it's a lot of it is very low key. I think just talking to people and authentic, being authentic and, you know, sharing your expression. I mean, your excitement and passion, you know, but I'd really want to dream of a day where this is a formula, and I don't have one yet, but there's no formula to this.
That's okay. I mean, you know, I think you're doing the right things. Although you know, as you mentioned, you may not be the world's best at it, I think your approach is really good. And you're right. I mean, there's obviously, you know, tons of people out there who are willing to, you know, support you and support the ideas and projects they're working on, which is, you know, crazy powerful, especially in today's day and age. So good. I mean, and I hope things work out well. And I'm going to ask what it is in a minute. Right. But prior to that, and then you mentioned some really good pieces of information here, but I'm just wondering, you know, for someone who's an entrepreneur in general, who's maybe looking to, you know, become a maker, whether they use code or not, do you have any advice for someone in that position?
My strongest advice is just don't give up on your dreams. I know it sounds cliche, but I think we're living in some unbelievable times where anything that you fancy in your mind, when you're alone, when you're driving, or when you're having a long, deep reflection about something, you can really build it out and ship it. And so, you know, I think we're all being fed this bullshit, you know, narrative that there's only a certain type of people, only a certain kind of certain race or certain color, certain whatever, who can actually become X. I don't think that's true. You know, anybody can become X. And but it's really, you have to want it for yourself more than anything. You know, I get random DMs from people saying like, hey, you only have like 1,000 followers on Twitter. Like, I'm surprised, man, your content is so great. I mean, I really appreciate what you're doing. And I always laugh at myself because I never even look at my total count, because, you know, I always think about it as, you know, impact can be measured, right? Some of the greatest people who lived on this earth, I don't think even had Twitter.
That's right. So yeah, exactly.
It's like Steve Jobs had no fucking Twitter, but he fucking came to work, right? So, and Mahatma Gandhi had like no Twitter or Instagram. So it's those social media metrics are like a sliver of your personality and your, you know, and your game, right? Your impact is far, far powerful than any of these metrics can measure. So if you wake up every day and just do what you love doing and share it openly and freely with others, you're going to create massive impact, which will compound like crazy. And I wish people saw that. I wish people saw the journey of where you go from zero to like really making an impact in a meaningful way and realize that, yeah, it looks simple. I'm not saying it's easy. It's simple. It's dead simple. But it is definitely hard because you'll always have other people get in your way. You'll always have your own ego sometimes get in the way and your own self-defeating beliefs get in the way. So as long as you're free from that, as long as you're trying to like really do it for the fun of it, but also hoping that it'll help one other person, you won.
That's it. Perfect. Yeah, exactly. And I completely agree with that. I mean, you know, putting something out there that can potentially change someone or help someone, I mean, that in itself should be, you know, rewarding enough at that point. So yeah, why don't you let us know what the new product is or what the new thing that you're working on is. And I'm really eager and excited to hear what that is.
Absolutely. So, okay. So after having shipped 5 products and, you know, after like taking a stab at most of my passions and, you know, ideas, I think I was looking for something that I do so frequently, but I never, you know, really talked about it or really like took a stab at it, you know, to make it better. Right. And so I listed down the list of things that I do, you know, frequently, and I try to look for inefficiencies in them or problems around, you know, in them. And one of the things that kept bothering me, you know, it just came to me randomly. I didn't even plan on it. It just simply came to me was writing. Now, if you follow James Clear, if you follow David Perel and Paul Graham, you will notice what they've been advocating for years. And this is nothing new. This is not something that I'm like brand new telling you the truth. It's like they've been advocating that please write consistently on the internet, you know, and they're talking about writing as in like long form content. They're not talking about short quips or tiny tweets. They're talking about like publishing real substantial, you know, writing work on the internet, right? So because it's making a comeback, and this is the big news, it's long form content today is making a massive comeback, and the people who are not publishing it frequently are losing. And so I noticed about myself, because this whole year, 2019, I shipped about 158, 159 blog posts on my blog. This is kp.com. However, I don't have anything substantial to show anybody when they visit. So there's all these like in the spur of the moment, like, you know, impromptu blog posts. They're all like, you know, conversational. They're like, oh yeah, this is what I think about it. This is what I think about it. But there's mostly like 1,000 words at max. Nothing is like a New York Times 10,000 word article. Like, you know, you see Paul Graham's essays, right? They're like genuinely long and like a full argument. He puts his point like a full fucking, you know, full well-rounded argument. He never leaves it hanging. So, and I think this is a problem that I face, obviously, you know, as, you know, I have inspiration enough to like ship maybe like a 30-minute worth blog post, but I never convert it to a full, you know, article, like a long form article, right? And I asked myself, like, why do I not have the motivation? which is weird because I shipped other products which are much more like 2 week and, you know, whatever, 3 week, 4 week long projects, and I have inspiration for them. And the big difference to me was the fact that first I decided to become a maker, right? So it's an identity thing. Second, I had like a great community around me who were holding me accountable, which today I think writers don't have. So a lot of the bloggers, you know, who are writing today, they may have like one other blogger that they know, right? But they don't have like the world-class bloggers around them, or they're not watching the process, which is completely happening in no-code and in the maker world. Like I watch what Ben Tossel does, or what Mubs does, or what Ryan Hoover does, and I learn tremendously just by watching how they publish, how they write, or whatever, right? And that doesn't happen in writing. So anyway, so long story short, the thesis is basically long-form content is making a comeback, and you know, publishing on the internet will give you a disproportionate edge. And this is a community that will be, you know, sort of what indie hackers did for makers.
Okay.
This will be, you know, for writers, and it's called writerscompound.com. So it just went live today, this morning. Just put a landing page up there, which is funny because I don't even know how I'm going to build this. Okay. I probably have to do some bubble no code way, but I challenge myself to just ship a landing page and figure out the logistics later. So I've been getting super good feedback so far. A lot of interested writers are like, you know, I thought about this. I really wanted something like this. So I'm excited to ship it maybe like early January in 2020. And so go check it out. It's called writerscompound.com. It's a nod for Compound Inches, because I'm a huge fan of Compound Inches.
Okay.
That's compound.com.
Okay, perfect. And so what I'll do is any of the links that you mentioned, I'll put that in the show notes. So this way someone can just quickly go and grab that if they're interested in doing so. And I'm excited for it. And I will check it out when I have some time. And I will provide my own feedback if I have anything to say at all.
Please do. I'm in the process of gathering feedback at this point. So I'd love to hear from you and, you know, anybody on the podcast too.
Sure. And I, another thing I want to encourage is the listeners, if you do go out and check the website out, then please do share feedback. I mean, it's important to, you know, just to see and voice what you think of the website, and maybe things that you like, things that, you know, if you don't like certain things, whatever, just to get that feedback across is, I think, really important. Okay, KP, I we're reaching out of our time here, our allotment of time, but there's so many more things that we can definitely dive into, which perhaps maybe in the new year, six months down the road, maybe we can have you back on and tell us, you know, what's new and how things are going. If you're interested in coming on again, I would love to have you.
I'd love to.
All right. And for the listeners, can you just maybe tell us where they can find you, whether it's your social media handles, websites, all that good stuff?
Sure. You can find me at thisiskp_ on Twitter. Just one word, thisiskp_ on Twitter. And my website is thisiskp.com. I'm mostly very active on Twitter. I don't really check on Instagram or anything else. So hit me up on Twitter, and please let me know if you're taking a shot at any of your dreams in no code or any of these projects that, you know, that I work on. I have so many free resources or free links to suggestions that I want to pass on, because it makes no sense to hoard all of this stuff, right? So I'd love to pay it forward as much as, because I really stand on the shoulders of the giants who came before me. And I always acknowledge that. So feel free to hit me up. Feel free to, you know, let me know if you have any problems or challenges. But please, please unlock what's within you. I'm sure there's some great ideas within you. Just unlock them and ship them.
Perfect. Said perfectly. And by the way, a couple of those quotes should be on Twisdom, by the way, you just mentioned. okay. So KP, I really do appreciate your time, and I wish you all the best, and look forward to chatting with you again in the future.
That's so awesome. Thank you so much, Paulo. All right. Good luck with the podcast too.
Thank you so much. Take care now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And there you have it. Another episode of the Milestone Hackers podcast. And actually, funny enough, this would be the 10th completed and published show so far. And I consider that a huge milestone for me and the podcast. Although quite young, I have received countless comments and DMs and various emails on people just saying, you know, podcast is doing well, and they're offering me some comments and suggestions. So to everybody who reached out, thank you very much. I truly do appreciate your feedback, your comments, your suggestions to make the show better. By all means, if anyone has any more of those type of comments, then and please do reach out. You can reach me at milestonehackers@gmail.com or via Twitter at milestonehacker with no S. Again, thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please do consider leaving a review on iTunes. That just helps with getting the show a little bit more exposure. As you can imagine, there's, you know, thousands of shows out there now, and the podcast community is continuing to grow, which I am happy to be a part of. And so, again, thank you, everybody. This, again, will be aired in January. So I hope everyone had a great holiday, and let's look forward to 2020, and let's hopefully achieve and accomplish things beyond our wildest dreams. So until next time, take care.